You're listening to Broad Topics. Diverse women, big topics.
Welcome back to the second half of Broad Topics right here on LATalkRadio.com. I am Lauren Nickerson, joined by Lauren Kelly and Stacey Lewis. But right now, in this very studio, we have the movie guys, Paul Preston and Christina Rauter. Christina, you're not actually a guy.
No.
But you are a movie guy.
I'm a movie guy. I wish I was a guy in many ways.
Yeah? But yeah. Not in others, I'm sure.
No.
They're stinky. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hi. Yes. Representing those who are stinky, it's Paul.
Yes. Nothing personal. What's going on with movies? It's summer.
Well, hello, Broad Topics. See, I am indeed Paul Preston.
And I'm Christina Rauter.
And we are with themovieguys.net. And I'm Paul Preston.
And I'm Christina Rauter.
And we're with themovieguys.net. And I'm Paul Preston.
Hey, Paul. Stop it.
What?
You're looping around, doing the same thing over and over again, you know?
I'm sorry about that. I recently saw Total Recall. Not sure if I'm doing that because it's a movie about someone's memory being erased or because the studios thought our memories of the old Total Recall were erased.
Mind games, hidden identities, that stuff's all the rage, Paul.
Really?
Yeah, not only is Total Recall's Colin Farrell unaware that he's actually a freedom fighter, but in the upcoming Hit and Run, Kristen Bell realizes her longtime husband is actually a criminal getaway car driver. And of course, Jeremy Renner is the latest CIA agent to realize he's a super soldier in The Bourne Legacy.
And I'm Paul Preston.
Stop it.
So, okay. Let's get on to our first film, The Bourne Legacy. It is the fourth in the Jason Bourne series. The franchise, now Matt Damonless, has added Jeremy Renner because those are the rules. Right, Mission Impossible?
Right, Avengers? I guess they wanted to go in a new, same direction. Though the catchphrase, there was never just one, seems to refer to the Bourne movie sequels, it's actually referring to the multiple genetically fortified assassins trained by the CIA under the same program that trained Matt Damon to write Good Will Hunting. And nothing else.
In the movie, the CIA has to shut down what remains of the assassin program Operation Outcome, the successor to Operation Treadstone, which is the successor to Operation Important Sounding Word. When the CIA says shut down, they of course mean kill everybody. But luckily for us, the program that they're shutting down is a guy that's hard to catch, and he's going to try and shut them down first, and blah, 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 who cares? Here's the deal. This is what we want to see. Running.
Climbing.
Driving.
Motorcycling.
And fancy dodging. And I want to see Hawkeye make a bomb out of a toaster and kill a guy with a shake weight.
Franchise veterans Albert Finney, Joan Allen, Scott Glenn, and David Strathairn reprise their roles as Guy Who Needs Information, Incredulous Woman, Guy in Perpetual Dizzy, and David Strathairn.
And Edward Norton also stars as Guy in Charge. And of course, there's a love interest scientist played here by Rachel Weisz-Knightley Portman Hathaway.
And why is Matt Damon not in this? I'm sorry. Did America suddenly become tired of seeing Matt Damon kick ass? Well, let me just speak for America, all right? No, we did not get tired of seeing Matt Damon kick ass. No offense, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, Renner seems to be trying to out Matt Damon, Matt Damon. Well, let me tell you something. You cannot out Matt Damon, Matt Damon. Just feared this movie might get a little too Hurt Locker-y. No offense, Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner is like the next girlfriend. You know, the one that is really pretty and sweet and almost as good as the one before, but you still think about Matt Damon during sex. No offense, Jeremy Renner.
But let's get down to what's important here. Did we like it? Well, this is my kind of movie. Adults doing grown man stuff in a smart and slick action thriller. Boom. I'd take that over teenage vampires any day.
They're obviously launching a new legacy here. The legacy of sidekick guy overtaking main hero guy. Because that's essentially what this feels like. Renner overtaking Damon. Renner is cute. I will admit that. But in that, like, cutesy, smaller, comedic sidekick sort of way. He was just adorable in this. Like a teddy bear. I wanted to squish him. Whereas Matt Damon is, well, not squishable.
Well, I never gauged the squishiness of our lead character, but I certainly thought Renner was up to the task, providing equal parts toughness and desperation as he tries to steer clear of the CIA thugs who are out to get him and end this secret program that created him.
Overall, I have to say I really enjoyed this movie. It was fun and full of action, and I loved Rachel Weisz. Her vulnerability and fear and panic throughout the film was very believable. You could almost feel it yourself.
Yeah, there's no reason anyone normal should be in this crazy situations these characters find themselves in. Running.
Climbing.
Driving and shooting, and Weisz provides that regular person perspective well. She has an Oscar. I mean, Renner has two nominations. Norton has a nomination. Joan Allen, David Strathairn, they're nominees as well. And when you elevate your action movie if it's filled with prestigious talent.
All in all, I thought it was a well-done movie. And you don't really need to see the previous ones to enjoy it, because I didn't.
I did. And you'll be happy to know that the writer of the last two Bourne films, really the best of the franchise, Tony Gilroy, is back writing here. And he also directs. So they didn't suddenly give the whole thing over to Michael Bay. Everything is in good hands. And Gilroy is also responsible for making Michael Clayton, only one of the best films of the last 10 years.
So it's smart.
It's action-packed.
Big props to the motorcycle action sequence specifically. And with these expressionless killing machines wearing sunglasses and chasing each other, it felt like the best parts of Terminator 2.
Yes. See it before action gets dopey again with The Expendables 2.
But what if your movie had no action?
Well, then it better have Meryl Streep.
Well, you're in luck! Because also out this week is Hope Springs, starring Streep and Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay. First things first. Whether it's a piece of lightweight fluff like Hope Springs or a deep meditative movie like Doubt, this is a notice to all of the world, all right? If you are alive while Meryl Streep is performing, you must go and see what she's doing. She is a living legend, perhaps the greatest actress of all time, and that's not hyperbole, okay? If you're sharing the planet with her, it doesn't take much to see what she's doing, just going down and buying a ticket. You have to do it. If I had the chance to see Olivier on stage or Lenny Bruce in a comedy club, I'd have done it. This isn't much different. Go see her.
When I first saw this movie was coming out, I thought, hey, Meryl Streep, living legend, Iron Lady, Julia Child, you always play strong, larger than life women. Here you're playing a timid, disappointed, sexless wife as if to say, see, I'm just like you, Middle America. Well, you know what? You're not. You're Meryl Streep. We want you to be better than us. We want you as the Bridges of Madison County woman who gets swept off her feet, or the lady who dances and sings in Mamma Mia. That's why we watch you. You're our escape. We don't need you dowdy and depressed.
But fear not, America. I'm here to say she plays frumpy and spineless just as convincingly as she plays strong. She can play anything and play it authentically. She's amazing.
To understand the tone you're going to get here, the film is directed by David Frankel, the director of The Devil Wears Prada and Marley and Me.
So enjoy this movie or the dog gets it.
What's it about? Tommy Lee and Merle play a couple married for 31 years who have fallen into a rut and go to see a marriage counselor, played by Steve Carell in Hope Springs, Maine, to try and work things out.
Getting her husband to take the trip to see the therapist is just the first of many obstacles Streep will have to overcome as they work their way back to a loving relationship and old people sex.
We're broadcasting from L.A., by the way. Anyone married for 31 years out here is rare. So I'm already excited to see something new.
But since this is a lighthearted comedy, quick note to Glenn Close. Now's your chance. It's a summer release. Okay, Streep's being funny. There's no way this could win an Oscar. Glenn, quick, do something challenging. Get involved in a deep, brooding drama. Do what you gotta do. Go full retard. Strike while the fire is hot.
But let's get down to what's important here. Did we like it? Well, the movie starts, I'm all feeling a little awkward.
Awkward.
A little grossed out by the wrinkly foreplay. You gotta admit it.
What?
They have to rediscover intimacy in their 60s. That's not always pleasant to watch.
Okay, I'll give you that. I mean, the movie's PG-13, but should have been rated R for any thought of what Tommy Lee Jones looks like naked.
Tommy Lee Jones has made a career out of being a loudmouth, barking orders dude in The Fugitive, Men in Black, and The Client.
Yeah, but he's been fantastic at transitioning into quiet, almost sad roles in his late career. If you think of No Country for Old Men, The Company Men, and here, he captures that really well. His character, Arnold, is against all the changes Steve Carell's therapist is trying to make in his marriage, but underneath all the bluster, you can see real pain and even fear. He plays it all well.
Steve Carell was... And just there, I suppose, like he was decoration or something.
Well, he's really a facilitating character. Nothing showy here. He just kind of makes the most of his goofy grin.
But it is shaggy-haired Carell, which is a good sign. Reminds you of a little Miss Sunshine.
True. Haircut too short, Steve Carell, usually means you're going to see Get Smart. Not good.
And Elizabeth Shue makes a cameo looking pretty hot and sexy for a 40-year-old, don't you think, Paul? She's in your age group, right?
Whoa. Okay, she's smoking hot, but she's 49.
And you're...
Not... And Kristen, was it embarrassing having a guardian with you in order to be able to buy a ticket for this film?
Look, I liked the movie. I liked it enough to suggest it to my mom and grandma and even my dad and even you, Paul.
I'm sure the mature feelings were new for you.
It was well done. I felt everything those characters were feeling, and now I never need to see it again. It was like watching my grandparents have sex. Don't ever need to see it. Don't ever need to relate.
But one day you will, whether you like it or not. How is this not directed by Nancy Myers?
I don't know who that is.
Sorry, that's an over 30 years old joke. Most of this film now, it works. Although it does get a little bogged down plot-wise towards the end, as the filmmakers probably said, well, we better wrap this up, and then it stumbles a bit towards the finish line.
Also, the director has a bunch of pop songs in the film. Not all of them work, or some are poorly placed. If you hear the song too clearly, perhaps it isn't helping the drama, it's becoming it.
But overall, the film is enjoyable due to the leads playing it genuine. They don't play it funny, they don't play it dramatic, they play it real, and end up being both of those things and more successful.
I may be forever haunted by Meryl Streep's moaning. Nightmares, all I'm saying. Seriously.
We're the Movie Guys from themovieguys.net.
That's how what we saw and how we see it.
We love it. Thank you so much for joining us. Movieguys.net. Make sure you check them out or follow them on Twitter. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have to talk about Honey Boo Boo.
You're listening to Broad Topics. Diverse women, big topics.